This is the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. This show examines the latest legal topics and news facing families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. It is hosted by lawyers Rob Schenck and Will Smith of Schenck Smith LLC, a personal injury law firm based in Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome to the show. Hello out there and welcome to episode 38 of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, What to Look Out For in Nursing Home Admission Documents. My name is Rob Schenck.
And I'm Will Smith.
And we are nursing home abuse attorneys in the state of Georgia, and we are also your co-hosts for this episode. You know what I was thinking about? There was a viral video not too long ago of, I don't know who the actors are, I can't remember who they are, but it was two actors reenacting the intro to Simon and Simon, the TV show from the 80s. Like, the frame for frame, they went and did a reshoot, like went to the same locations and everything for the, you don't know the show Simon and Simon?
No, I do, and I'm trying to think of who it is, because it's too, like, not Seth Rogen, but it's
along that line.
It's along those lines. Yeah, yeah. It's two of those guys. Like, I think one of them might have been John Hamm.
I think John Hamm was the one, the more manly dude.
I think the other guy was Jimmy Fallon.
He was the Jimmy Fallon light. He was in Parks and Recreation, and he's been in other stuff. He was the bad guy in Step Brothers.
Yes, Ben White.
So when you said you didn't know who those two people were, you knew exactly who they were.
Well, I actually happened to look up Ben White the other day for another reason, because he's in a movie that I saw.
The reason why I'm bringing that up is and humming the tune is because I think it would be funny if you and I reenacted our own scenes from the beginning of this show. You know how, like, for those out there that don't know, that this is not just a regular podcast, it's a video podcast. And we have an introduction of Will and I doing various things.
You mean the B-roll introduction?
Yeah, like we're talking and we're doing things and interacting with each other. We need to actually, or hire two actors to do that kind of look like us.
Yeah, children. Have two children do it. Yeah.
But anyway, lots of great things on this episode. We're talking about a topic that we get asked about a bit from family and friends, and that is when you sit down, when you have a loved one that is prospectively looking to be admitted into a nursing home or assisted living facility, you're going to probably go to the office, talk to the nursing home administrator, and they're going to set in front of you a bunch of documents, kind of like when you're buying a house, you got to sit down at the table with that closing attorney, and there's a stack of papers an inch thick. And today we're going to be talking about what's in those papers, what's in a nursing home admission packet, and some things to probably look out for if you find yourself in that situation where you have a loved one that is going to be admitted into a nursing home, like how to maybe some back angle things that the nursing homes put in there, or some things to look out for. From a general standpoint, though, the main thing, though, is before you would happen to go to the nursing home to discuss that with the nursing home administrator, you're kicking the tires, figuring out whether or not to put your loved one in that nursing home, is whether or not you have the authority to sign any of the documents in the admission package at all. Generally, at least in the state of Georgia, if you're going to act on behalf of another person, then one of a few things need to have transpired prior to you executing that document on behalf of somebody else. The first thing is that there is some type of power of attorney. A power of attorney is a document that a principal, person A, signs, giving the agent, person B, the legal authority to do or act on behalf of person A in XYZ capacity. Generally, when you hear the term durable power of attorney,
when you get into these long rants, you start to talk like Barack Obama. Do you know that, right?
Oh, with the pauses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are a couple of things you need to do.
Well, do you,
one of those
that is actually that is actually a a tool used by actors to keep the audience going with. I went to a CLE about I think it was either closing statements or whatever, and the guy was he was the legal consultant for My Cousin Vinny. Like that's his, he was a consultant for like whenever you see Law and Order or Legally Blonde or whatever, they hire him to come out and go, hey, that's not what hearsay is, or, you know, you can't argue during a question, blah, blah, blah. But that was his big deal. He's like, hey, you need to speak. You need to cut your sentences up into pieces just like this to add emphasis to every clause in your sentence.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So durable power of attorney, you may have, okay. Durable power of attorney, that's generally going to be person A, the principal, providing the agent with generally unbridled authority. Generally, there's not very much that the agent cannot do on behalf of A, and that's generally, at least in the state of Georgia, as it stands now, a true durable power of attorney. Now, this is not legal advice. I don't know what's in your durable power of attorney, but generally, that provides requisite authority to bind or to allow you to execute a nursing home admission packet. The next thing would be either a conservatorship or a guardianship. And this is where a judge, and in Georgia, it'd be the probate court, has said that person A is no longer able to make their decisions on their own for whatever reason, either a disability, mental incapacity, and sometimes it's a, if it's a minor. But it's a court document that's going to say that the agent, person B, can act on behalf of person A.
And a guardianship is for the person. Conservatorship is for their property.
So, that's right. And all these terms will vary state to state. We practice principally in the state of Georgia, so that's kind of where we're coming at. But it's along the same lines. Power of attorney, guardianship, conservatorship, there needs to be some type of legally enforceable mechanism.
Advanced, you know, healthcare power of attorney directive, whatever they call them, in different states.
Different states.
The ability to make complete decisions for your loved one, because if you're putting somebody in a nursing home, not only is it convenient to them to have you make decisions for them, it's not as though you get a warning signal before they become possibly mentally unavailable or incompetent. So it could be a slow process to where, you know, mom goes into a nursing home, 4 months down the road, a year down the road, all of a sudden you realize mom has dementia and she can no longer sign legal documents. And instead of being able to sign over all this authority to you, you're going to have to go through the process of getting the courts involved, getting physicians involved. So having it up front is extremely valuable.
Okay, so now that we kind of got that out of the way in terms of, like, can you even go down to the nursing home and act on behalf of your loved one that's going to be put into that nursing home, a couple things about the admission packets. Number one is, like,
Well.
Like, that's me hitting the mic this time.
It was
chickens
me.
Come home to roost. No, a couple things. Like any legal document, it's important that we understand that this isn't a high-pressure sales situation. This isn't a situation in which, you know, you got to make that decision there on the spot. Principally, what I'm saying is that if you get that admission package and it's 25 pages, if it's 10 pages, if it's 5 pages, you have every right, if you so desire, to take it with you, fold it up, put it in your pocket, take it home, open it back up on your kitchen table, and read it word for word. Ask questions. Get your other family members involved. Maybe they can understand what the second paragraph means on the fifth page. But at the end of the day, you do not have to sign it right there in front of them. Take it home and review it. And better yet, you can also have an attorney review it.
Absolutely.
Generally, if you've made it to a stage in your life, or at least the life of your loved one, where you're having to make the decision whether or not to put them in a nursing home, hopefully you have shopped around and found an elder law attorney that can help you with some of these things. An elder law attorney generally is somebody that can draft the durable power of attorneys. They can do the health care directives. They can do wills, things like that, that put affairs in order. But anyway, you can take that nursing home admission document to that lawyer, and they can review it for you, let you know what's going on. But just principally, take your time with it. Look and see, because, I mean, there are nursing homes out there. I mean, they...
And I know that we live in a day and age, and I know that I'm guilty of this, absolutely guilty of it, where we have to agree to terms and conditions so often that naturally we don't read them. I can tell you right now, I don't think I've ever read a single term and a condition of Verizon, AT&T, Comcast, any of them. It's just not worth it.
And this is why we still get CDs and cassette tapes at the office from Columbia House, because Will continues to check, I agree to the terms and conditions.
Yeah, always. Ace of Base, I have every single. I don't have the albums, but I have every single.
And the cassette single.
The cassette single.
So the next thing would be to understand that...
what I was trying to say before you went off on a tangent about Columbia House is, this isn't one of those things where it's okay for you because everybody's doing it or whatever to do that. This is one of the times where it is extremely important, regardless of how everything is always on fire in Atlanta. It's one of those things where it is extremely important that you do go through this. Don't get tired and frustrated. Don't be lazy. Take that admission packet and go through the entire thing, because there are very important agreements that you're making in that admission packet.
And to that point, I apologize about interjecting about Columbia House. The point I was trying to make before you took the ball back was that when you take that document home, mm-hmm. when you review it with your family, when you review it potentially with a lawyer, you can, if you so desire, make changes to it. Some things you can strike out if you don't like it. Some things you can add. Now, bear in mind that when you go back to the nursing home, they might say it's take it or leave it, but you never know. I mean, you can strike through some things, like, for example, whether or not you want pictures taken of your loved one for the nursing home's marketing purposes.
Yeah.
Things of that nature, which might not be material to the nursing home, but you might not want to have happen. So,
but remember that they don't have to, you know, I mean, it may not be a level playing field as far as negotiating the terms, because you may need your mother close to your residence, and this is the only nursing home, but they don't have to accept her. So that's just something to keep in mind. I mean, you know, they don't have to accept her.
That's right. So there are going to be some things, and this will depend, and this is why it will be important for you to show this to an attorney, but when a nursing home, skilled nursing home, assisted living facility accepts Medicare and Medicaid, they are governed by both federal law and state law. I don't have a percentage. I think we've thrown out some percentages before about the number of nursing homes in the state of Georgia and in the country that do not take Medicare or Medicaid, but they're mm-hmm. not as many. In fact, I would say they're few and far between. So most every nursing home is going to be governed by the regulations for accepting Medicare and Medicaid. In terms of payment in the admission documents, please be advised that it's not true that once Medicaid benefit or Medicare benefits are exhausted, that your loved one has to leave the nursing home. There should be nothing in that admission document with regard to payment that guarantees.
Can I just interject and? Medicaid is the primary payer for over 60% of nursing home facilities, and this is
Medicaid
in Georgia.
In Georgia, so there's nothing in that document that, in terms of those nursing homes accepting Medicare, Medicaid, that says some third party has to guarantee payment for your loved one. Generally, that would be a violation of federal law, if not state law. Now, another couple things is that there should be nothing in that admission document that waives in any capacity the normal legal or constitutional rights that your loved one would have going to the bank, going to school, or taking part in regular society. That is to say that there should be nothing that would prohibit your loved one in that admission packet from, I guess, worshiping in the way that they want to.
Yeah.
Or, you know, going to vote. Anything regarding race, ethnicity, national origin, none of those things should be present that would prohibit in any way activities associated with constitutional rights.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that includes everything from the arbitration agreements, which, have you covered that yet?
We'll get into
that. Yeah. I want to get into that. That's its own separate thing, the Seventh Amendment. But, you know, you've got some places which may inadvertently try to limit an individual's ability to worship in a specific way, or they put extra requirements, again, inadvertently, on their ability to go out and vote, because it requires, you know, some level of assistance from other people to get some of these nursing home residents to vote. So it's really important that you go over these contracts, because some of these nursing homes, and it's not somebody in the back twirling their mustache and saying, you know, I'm going to take away their rights. Quite simply, you know, sometimes nursing homes don't hire attorneys to draft their own admission packets, which is absurd to me, because it is a contract. So you just have to do your due diligence and go through these.
That's right. So I'm getting into just a couple of the individual clauses that might be present. The first one is going to talk about the concept of DNR. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, so it's just quite simply, do not resuscitate. When you're dealing with an individual who is in the late stages of their lives, you know, your grandmother is 90 years old. Well, it may not be in her best interest, and it may be against her wishes, that should she encounter some sort of medical situation where she's dying. So she's a full code, you know, she's having a heart attack, something to that degree. Then they may limit what they do to resuscitate her and bring her back. So they may not perform CPR, or they may not extend to her other certain life-saving techniques, simply and make her comfortable and let her, you know, end her life peacefully the way that she wants to. And there are different levels of DNR, and there are different reactions to each of those levels. So, you know, obviously, if somebody has fallen on the ground and they're bleeding from their head, they're not just going to go, all right, everybody just gather around and you know, watch Miss Johnson slowly bleed out. But it really has to do with just naturally occurring medical conditions like, you know, heart attacks or even strokes. So that's something important to talk with your loved one and your doctor and make sure it's in the admission agreement.
This is going to be something that's probably going to be in that admission packet.
It needs to be in that agreement. Otherwise, the default is we resuscitate.
Correct.
So if you've got a 110-year-old woman who's like, please, for the love of God, let me go to heaven, then you need to make sure that the nursing home understands, don't perform CPR on this woman.
That's right. So I think the next thing you're probably going to see, and we talked about this for a second, but there's generally going to be some type of model release or privacy policy dealing with photos and recordings and images taken of your loved one, or, you know, maybe not like a headshot, but maybe she's in, or he or she, your loved one, is in a group shot, participating in activity, whatever the case may be. The nursing home is generally going to request a release so that they can take images of your loved one for the purposes of marketing that nursing home. So pamphlets, website, commercials, advertisements, that kind of thing. And to the extent that you don't want your loved one involved with that, there's some folks that don't like their picture taken. There's some folks that don't want to be, you know, maybe they don't want to be seen in the thing. I don't know, but that's an important component if that's not something that you're into, and you have the right to decline that if you want. Again, but that's something to look out for
and understand. And the reason why I bring this up is because I have seen at least one situation where some pictures were taken that were inappropriate. That's still going to be unlawful, right?
Correct.
So we're talking about,
this is on the up and up. Like,
we're talking about grandma is in activities and they're all bouncing the ball around and they're singing bingo and somebody takes a picture of that and they use it for a brochure.
This isn't an employee, a staff member using their cell phone to take an inappropriate picture of a resident. That's not what this is usually about. Like Will said, that's going to generally be unlawful regardless of how you cut it.
Yeah.
And last but not least, before we switch subjects, one of the principal components of most nursing home agreements, most admission packets, is going to be having you sign on behalf of your loved one an arbitration agreement. So we've touched on arbitration about 100 times in this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Arbitration is an alternative dispute resolution method. It is an alternative to typical litigation, filing a lawsuit in the courthouse. Arbitration is a method in which the grievance of your loved one, if they've been neglected or abused or killed, is you provide arguments to an individual neutral arbitrator to render a judgment, and it's a private event. It's not a public hearing. There is no jury trial. There is no appeals. The arbitrator's ruling is going to be final and sometimes does not even invoke the rule of law at all.
Yeah, and I think that people are probably familiar with it because back in early September, there was the enormous Equifax breach where, you know, 145 million individuals had compromised information because of hackers. Mm. And there was and it was in the news. It was a big deal. Equifax offered you a certain term of protection because of that for free. It's a service it's a paid service that they normally offer that you have to buy, and they were offering it for free. And you know, people discovered, and the news media discovered, that when you were clicking on, I'll enroll in this, and I click on the terms and conditions, that one of the things that you were agreeing to was arbitration in the case that you had a legal dispute because of the breach. So you couldn't be a part of the class action, and you couldn't be a part of any, you know, lawsuit against them. You had to arbitrate. So it was a big deal. It was resolved in that Equifax ended up saying, okay, we're taking this away and getting rid of it. But that's what arbitration is, and I'm pretty sure everybody's familiar with it at this point.
So bottom line is that make sure that you have read the agreement, the entire agreement, understand everything. If you don't understand everything or don't agree with everything, take it to an elder law attorney, and you have the right to make changes if you want. They have the right to refuse it, but at least be involved with that and don't be confused about what's in it, because it's highly possible that one day the terms in that admission packet will be very important to you and very important to your loved one.
And I think we just forgot to say this, to throw it out there, don't sign the arbitration clause.
Yeah.
As simple as that, just don't sign it.
There's going to be almost no instance in which, and this is not legal advice, but there's almost going to be no instance in which signing an arbitration agreement is going to be a better situation for your loved one.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. A little bit of interesting news coming out of West Virginia. West Virginia.
Mountain Mama.
It is West Virginia, right? West Virginia. Who's that?
John Denver. Don Johnson.
We've talked about John Denver on this podcast.
We have.
He wrote the train songs, and you didn't know that. Okay.
No. I knew that, and I told you, and you thought it was somebody else.
Okay. The record is available. Okay. All right. So
from Columbia House.
A new West Virginia law has been passed in order to restrict the statute of limitations for claims against nursing homes. This new law, also known as Senate Bill 338, reduces the amount of time plaintiffs can file a lawsuit following an incident of alleged nursing home abuse and neglect from 2 years to 1 year. So we got Jeff Stewart, an attorney with the Bell Law Firm in Charleston, states that this law is helping nursing home owners at the expense of patients and predicts that there will be an increasing number of nursing home profits after this law becomes into effect on July 1 of 2017. Well, he said it about right.
You know, and I got to tell you, in the beginning, we were talking about some of the things that people put into admission packets that may restrict residents' rights. There's not some villain in the back twirling his mustache. A lot of times it's inadvertent because they don't understand things. I don't think I feel that way about some of the laws that these state legislatures and even federal lawmakers pass. I honestly kind of think that there's an evil villain in the background twirling his mustache on these. I mean, this clearly doesn't benefit anyone other than nursing homes to the detriment of nursing home residents.
So the statute of limitations, if it's not clear, is the time in which an individual that's been injured has to file a lawsuit. It's not indefinite. So on one hand, making a statute of limitations 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, on one hand, helps the injured person get their things together, investigate, do all the things that they need to do to get their house in order prior to filing a lawsuit. So that's beneficial. Long statute of limitations is generally going to benefit the person that has been injured. Okay. On the other hand, the longer that a statute of limitations is, the more detrimental it'll be to the potential defendant, in this case, nursing homes, because you know, you got to think about it this way. They don't hold on to files indefinitely. They don't hold on to records indefinitely. Things that would exonerate the defendant or the nursing home, things that would prove the plaintiff's case false. A lot of evidence disappears after time. So that's another reason why it's detrimental to the nursing home, but good for the potential plaintiff to have a long statute of limitations.
Sure.
The shorter, on the other hand, the shorter that the statute of limitations is, the more it swings the other way. The more it's, you know, if your loved one has passed at a nursing home, you're dealing with the probate court or whatever it is in your state in terms of administrating that person's estate. A lawsuit might not be on your mind at that point. And then, you know, time passes and you're barred from bringing a claim, even though you would have had a rightful claim. So,
and statute of limitations are a clear reflection of how important the underlying legal issue is to that society. For example, misdemeanors have, in criminal law, misdemeanors only have a 2-year statute of limitation.
In Georgia.
This is all Georgia, in which, you know, the prosecutor can pursue them. Felonies, it's up to 4 years. And something like murder has no statute of limitations. In Georgia, the legislature doesn't like defamation, so it has a 1-year statute of limitation, whereas normal personal injury has 2.
That's right. And generally, the average around the country is between 1 year and 4 years for personal injury, and that's what a nursing home neglect or abuse case would fall under in most instances. So this is getting to the minimum on the scale in terms of states across the country.
But again, absolutely.
But again, I think Will is right. I think that whenever you have something that's this beneficial for a segment of the country, in this instance, the industry that
beneficial to the nursing
operates
home industry.
Nursing homes, yeah. Then there is a twirly mustache dude or lady.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not a lady twirling her mustache, whatever, twirling her hair.
Yeah.
In an evil way.
In an evil way.
In an evil way. That because this, I mean, why go from 2 to 1?
Yeah.
It helps the nursing homes because there's going to be a percentage of people that do not bring claims because they ran out of time. If they would have had 2 years, they would have brought the claim, and that's why this individual, and this quoted in this article from the ET? I don't know what, the theet.com, where we got this article.
And you know, I'm all about, you know, having a certain limit of time. I mean, you at some point you've been sitting on your hands too long, and it's unfair to the defendant, even though
they might have done something wrong. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it shouldn't be 15 years, but the first year that your loved one dies, you're rocked with all kinds of other responsibilities, the funeral, emotional problems. And so limiting it to that first 12 months just seems completely irresponsible, unethical, and just immoral to me.
Yeah. Well, that is going to just about do it for episode 38.
Mm-hmm.
Of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. We hope that you have found this episode enlightening, educational, perhaps entertaining.
Probably entertaining.
Again, this is not just an audio podcast that is available on Stitchers and iTunes. It is also a video podcast, which is available for you to consume both on the YouTube, on our YouTube channel, or on our website, which is nursinghomeabuse.com. No, nope, it isn't. It's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. And with that, why are you looking at me like that?
Because you're talking. I'm waiting for you to finish the segment.
And with that, we will see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and feel free to leave us some feedback. And for more information about the topics discussed in this episode, check out the show website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. That's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.